Hi, everybody. Welcome back to The Human Challenge, where we explore all the human challenges in today's world, the challenges of being human, and how we can challenge ourselves to be more human for the greater good. I'm your host, Vanessa Furlano, and today we're chatting with Poppy Mason-Watts, the Chief Impact Officer at WaterBear, an award-winning digital publisher and interactive streaming company dedicated to our planet. I love WaterBear. I actually watch it all the time, so I'm thrilled to have you here, Poppy. But for those of us who don't know, WaterBear produces and distributes impactful documentary content and other media to drive tangible change across the world. At WaterBear, Poppy oversees impact campaigning, editorial, and community growth for impact, and was also part of the founding team. WaterBear's mission is to empower individuals to become agents of change, fostering a global community. Thank you so much for being here, Poppy.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited for the conversation.
Thank you. Like I said, I love WaterBear, so I've been thrilled to have you here. And I know there have been so many amazing things happening recently. So please tell us, please tell all of us why we should be right now paying attention to everything that WaterBear is doing, because it's amazing.
Ooh, what a starter question. WaterBear, just to give you a little bit of context for anyone that doesn't know what WaterBear is, Vanessa's just summarized it perfectly. But we launched about 3 years ago now with the core mission of how could we build collective agency, drive tangible impact using content as a gateway. So content as that tool to bring in the audience and then encourage people to take action as they're watching. We've been on a journey. We are, as I've just said, 3 years old. We were formed in deepest, darkest pandemic. So it wasn't about going out of a pandemic, into a pandemic, which most big businesses were feeling out how to do. But ours was about how do we build a team and then come out of a pandemic to build a community and a platform. And I think we're doing okay. We've got a community of over 2.5 million people now globally, which is super exciting. We have over 1,000 documentaries on the platform. We are about to relaunch our product. I've just spoken to the product team. I thought it was April. It's just moved to May, which is one of those things, but we are getting there. And the new product is really going to be focused on that community building and being a place, a hub for community action, again, using stories as that gateway. We kicked off the year with a bumper start. We were at Davos launching our new story-led education and e-learning tool. More to come on that. And we also saw WaterBear launch its first ever Impact Storyhouse at Sundance, which was super exciting. Kind of activated in December, where a small group of us got together and said, let's do something major at Sundance. It's got an amazing, amazing heritage, the right group of people, awesome filmmakers. Let's get impact on the main stage there. So we launched a 4-day activation, talking all things impact and film. We saw kind of over 2,000 people come through the doors. So very exciting start to the year, with lots more to come this year.
Wow. I did see that. I think I saw some of the stuff around Sundance. And so that's fantastic. 2,000 people. That is amazing. And that is definitely
wild. Yeah. I think it was so funny because we were so nervous, as you are with any event. And we were like, God, what if no one comes? What if no one shows up? And then we had monster queues outside the door. So it wasn't about what if no one shows up. It was about how to be bouncers. So we spent most of our time running up and down the stairs, panicking about have we let the right people in and were the right people in the room. But it was great fun.
Oh, that's amazing. I love hearing this. I'm so glad to see this success. I think I've been watching WaterBear content for at minimum like 2 years, I would say. I think I probably 2 years. And I was a huge fan, like right from the start. I don't even remember how I discovered it, to be honest. But I remember when I did, I was like, oh, this is huge. And so as a user, as a viewer, it's amazing. And also as someone I consider myself, an impactor as well. Yep. And so I think you really feel that about WaterBear. That was something that I think I was attracted to WaterBear for that reason, that it was like, I understood this is not just about content. It is about like impact. And there's so much more here in general. And so I'm, genuinely super happy for all the success of WaterBear. And I guess maybe on this note of impact, I'm curious, tell us a little bit more about Impact to WaterBear, what it means, how it is present in your strategies and your operations, because I feel it, I feel that it's there. And so maybe you can share a little bit more about that and just even in general, what it means to you as well, being on the WaterBear team.
Of course. Firstly, it's so nice to hear that people are watching the content and that you're a true fan. Very exciting. We think, so from a kind of impact side, Water Bear, our kind of central impact hypothesis is based on the belief that we need collective action to catalyze social power. That's a lot of words, but essentially we want to build a kind of big community to throw at making change, because we know that social power, big communities, they can really drive systems change. We do that through a few different ways at Water Bear. So we build collective action and agency through stories. So some of the stories, and we'll talk a little bit about them later on, I hope, because we've got some amazing films that you can engage with and watch, through learning, through action, and through a kind of fast growing engaged community. And I think that last point is the most important, the community piece, because, you know, you can watch content anywhere, you can engage with films anywhere, but actually at Water Bear, we're building this global community and trying to become this central hub for people looking to create a tangible impact. And that's what I'm super excited about, right? We've got this amazing platform, we've got these amazing films, we know that people want to do more. How can we catalyze that and make change? And we all know that stories engage, they inspire, they entertain, and they're highly marketable. So once we've kind of given people a film, we've got them through the door, how can we then encourage people to play their part and take action? And that's really our kind of central hypothesis. When it comes to, if you take that one step deeper, we're really trying to produce stories or acquire stories and serve them to our community that span kind of core impact areas. The core impact areas that we're focused on this year are protecting oceans, so biodiversity and kind of conservation efforts, climate action, and the human landscape and how they intersect with that. What does all that mean? This is a lot of words. Essentially, we're looking at how we can measure impact against all of those different thematic areas. So that might be demonstrating how a film has been used to create a larger movement, how we're increasing engagement, how we're mobilizing people to act. It might be the total views on a film. It might be sharing the film. It might be a volume of press articles. It might be increased number of signatures on a petition. It might be kind of an increase in volunteering after watching the film. So we're really looking at how we can measure all of these different things on the Water Bear platform, which is super exciting. And then outside of all of that, we're looking at things like sustainable production models. So at Water Bear, we believe in what we call a decentralized production model, which essentially means we are not telling stories just from our team in Amsterdam. We're making sure that we work with hundreds of filmmakers and partners all over the world so that we're sharing diverse global voices. We're looking at inclusive and ethical filmmaking, so making sure that we're looking at lived experiences and authentic kind of ownership of stories, which is super important. I used to work for National Geographic. I hope that I don't get ashamed for saying this, but it was all about sending a kind of relatively all white crew over to wherever it might be, whether it's Africa, whether it's somewhere in Africa like Botswana. We'd send a crew over there, we'd take the story, we'd get the story, we'd bring it back, and we'd film it for a Western audience. And we really want to move away from that model because that system is fundamentally broken. We also place a great emphasis on next generation filmmaking talent. For too long, I think the big streamers have focused on a kind of section of talent, and we really want to start lifting up voices from the global south and making sure that there is a kind of wave of new talent being brought to the fore. So those are just some examples of how we're taking impact quite seriously and how we measure impact and track it with everything we do.
Absolutely. I love that so much. I love hearing that. I myself, I'm in impact investing. And so, you know, we definitely, you know, when we think of impact, we look at things like systems of change, theory of change, all those yeah. things. And so when I sit here and listen to all of this, I mean, I love the fact that impact is really, it's so widespread and it's like all encompassing in your entire business model. And I think it's just, I want to say it's inspiring and it's uplifting, I think, too, because I agree with you a lot of things in film. I think it's been too the same for too long. And so I'm really grateful to know that there is someone, there's an organization really trying to make that change, really encourage people to tell real stories. I went through a phase myself where I got really, I don't watch a lot of the streaming platforms anymore because I'm almost burnt out in a way. I'm like, I'm tired of these. Like it's formulaic. You know what I mean? And I'm like, I see it. I get it. I'm not really interested anymore. And so that was one of the reasons I was thrilled to discover Water Bear, because I was like, oh, real stories and engaging stories and real voices, right? Because, you know, to your point about National Geographic, it is one thing to send a white crew down to and film something, but it's totally different to get that same story from the local people who live there, right? Like that is absolutely such a different experience.
Yeah, and it's a really great example. I feel quite strongly about it, having worked in, I guess you'd call it big media for quite a long time. And you do become seriously disillusioned by it, right? Because Nat Geo is a really great example. From the outside, you're like, this is the mecca of the factual world. They're doing amazing stuff. They're creating amazing content, but the system is fundamentally broken. And at Waterbear, we wanted to kind of create a new paradigm for media, essentially. And a lovely example is a film we produced last year called Matar, which is about the refugee crisis, specifically in the UK. And anyone who follows the crisis in the UK knows it's pretty bad. And the rhetoric around it in the media is terrible. And with the film, we wanted to, kind of two core focuses were, how could we destigmatize the use of the word refugee? And how could we encourage people to oppose the boat ban bill, which was being passed almost this time last year, in March last year. So we kind of sat down and thought about what would make the most impact, what kind of film or what kind of story would make the most impact. And we landed on a docu-fiction. But we also landed on the idea of it had to be told through, it needed to be an all refugee team, an all refugee crew. We couldn't tell that story. It wasn't ours to tell. So we worked with an amazing, amazing team. Right down from catering on set was an incredible caterer who travelled over from Syria, and we had an amazing team. And it was just phenomenal. And you know, it really touched the rest of the team at Waterbear, and we went on to screen in kind of refugee areas in London. I went on to swim the bloody English Channel to raise money for the refugee community because I felt so strongly about it. Like it really affected the team. And I think it was the power of lived experience and again, authentic ownership, right? It was the right team telling the story. Yeah. And that really runs through everything we do at Waterbear.
I love that. And I love knowing that you, what did you swim? What Nile was this?
I think I also just saw, apologies. I swam across the English Channel to raise money for, I did it as a small relay team, and it's 44 kilometres. And it's the path that the migrants are using on the boats that are capsizing between France and England. And it was, you know, there's in the media at the time last year, the kind of political party, very prevalent in the UK, were really focused on how they could shut those crossings down to make sure that people couldn't make the journey. And we wanted to raise money to raise awareness for that. So we swam across it, which was a slightly crazy thing to do. Got stung by many jellyfish, and it was a strange challenge, but we did it. So yeah.
Oh my gosh. Out of all the things that your team sent me, this was not it.
I think it goes, people feel what's amazing about Waterbear and I guess the power of storytelling and the power of the industry we're in is that people really care. And it's very different to any company I've ever worked for. You know, I'm 16 years into a career, so I'm not kind of by any means super, super, super experienced, but, I've never worked for a place or at a business where everyone cares so deeply that it kind of ekes into their everyday life. And that's an amazing thing because you're united by this one mission for, we know that stories have power. We all want to collectively do something to make change. How can we bring those two things together and make it our jobs? And that's what's great about all.
Absolutely. I think, you know, to me, when I'm listening to you and everything you're saying, it's intention, right? It's intention that brings people exactly. together. And I think that when we kind of go back to that previous discussion around like this kind of typical media, I think that that's what's missing, right? Is that we've kind of lost the intention, or I think that intention has been kind of led astray over so much time. But no, like, I mean, I love hearing that story, and I love hearing, you know, this is, yeah, ultimate intention, impact, and then how that really does inspire people to create change. And it really does push people to actually want to do things differently. And the other thing that I think I'd like to echo in what you just said was the power of storytelling, right? Like, it's true. The power of storytelling is actually it's like transformational. I work Absolutely. In gender-based violence, and you know, a lot of people, even when our team, I'm the CEO of 8 Billion Voices, and so we do a lot of arts-based healing for women that have experienced gender-based violence. And even for us as our team, when the team had come together, and I joined a little bit later after the core team, but you know, when they all came together, they came together because there were a couple members on the team who were like, really, this isn't an issue. Is it really an issue? And then when we started sharing the stories, because that's what we do, we collect the stories, and we were like, this is what women experience. And they were like, oh my God, you know, and it was, it's that truthful. That is what happens. Storytelling really does empower people to make a difference.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think whatever happens with Waterbear, however we evolve as a platform, stories will always be at the center of it, whether it's short form, whether it's long form, whether it's 10-second micro kind of TikTok style content to long form editorial articles. Stories are at the heart of everything we do because they have the power to move, they have the power to change. And we kind of fundamentally, it's part of our core thesis.
Absolutely. And actually, and to your point, I love that about Waterbear, that there are multiple forms of content. I remember I watched I think it was a 5-minute one, and Ludovico Einaudi, he's a composer, and he was doing the background, the music for the one about the birds. And that one, yeah. Like that was 5 minutes, but that one hit me. I was like, oh my gosh, one hit you, you know, those short forms, they can get you.
But what's interesting about that one, and I did not know that I cared about tropical Indonesian bird poaching so much until I watched that video, and I was like harrowed by the end of it, because it was, as you say, it was 5 minutes, and it used music as the kind of medium to engage, along with the visuals. But what we're trying to do at Waterbear is every single person is different, and we've just done this mega research deep dive into our audience and who's watching and who's not watching, and what are kind of people watching globally. And it really depends on mood. It depends on circumstance. One size just does not fit all. And I think we're trying very hard to play with different styles of content, different formats, different lengths. I mean, next month, we're launching a mockumentary about guerrilla gardening, which is super cool. It's very British and it's humor. But it's brilliant because it's a comedic look at what is this kind of rising phenomenon in guerrilla gardening, which is worth checking out for anyone listening, and must go and join your guerrilla gardening community. But you know, then we launched last year this Ludovico Einaudi beautiful music video, which was a short that used music to kind of harness people. We launched the docu-fiction with Matar, the refugee film I've just talked about. We're launching a feature film on ocean conservation in June, which is super exciting, told through the lens of a really world famous DJ. How can you start straddling or bringing together culture and impact to bring in kind of mass audiences, I guess is what we'd call it, or mass groups of citizens, to start caring about stuff, because everyone cares about something, right? Everyone has something they give, you know, they care about. And I think film, content, music, if we can harness them in the right way, we can get them started on their impact journey.
Out of curiosity, I'm really curious, does social media play a role when you guys are looking at, you know, what content or what form of content do we want to be bringing in? I'm just kind of curious if there's any, if that's a consideration or not.
It plays a massive role, to be honest. Social media for us is another channel, right? It's not just a promotional tool. I think back in the day, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, social media was seen as a promotional amplifier. Now it's a channel in its own right. So we are starting to look at how we produce content, not just for the Waterbear platform, but we have a community of people on Instagram, right? Instagram's our most engaged audience space. So what can we produce for them? Something like positive news, as an example. We drop a Sunday positive news carousel that has 5 awesome updates from around the world, which is our most engaged piece. I can't speak today. It's our most engaged post weekly. And that's, I think, because people are craving positive news. But that's not something that we then have on the Waterbear platform, right? That's something we've specifically created for Instagram. Likewise, TikTok. It's a completely different medium, but actually there's a hugely engaged audience there. How can we start creating content that does the same as it does on Waterbear, but engages an audience there? So yeah, fundamental in short.
And even in terms of production, when you produce your own content, you know, are you looking at things like social media and like user behaviors? Does that influence, make a short film versus, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And it's less about saying when you're producing a film, let's make one film that's 10 minutes long and then make a few teasers for social. It's how do we make sure that that can then transcend onto social media? Should it actually be a social first film? Should we not be spending the money and making it into a big documentary? But actually, if we want to engage the 25-year-olds who really care about guerrilla gardening, should we actually just be making something for social media? So it's hugely important in that editorial process.
Very interesting. Very interesting. So given that it is International Women's Month, wanted to learn a little bit more about any special features you have coming up dedicated towards women, and any other your favorite pieces, even if you wanted to recommend some. But yeah, we'd love to learn a little bit more about how Waterbear is bringing impact into this space.
Sure. So one I'm very excited about, which is coming at the end of March or early April, is a film called Unsilenced, which has been created by UN Women. And it's a short film really focused on ending violence against women and girls. That's the kind of impact message. And the film spotlights 16 different countries across regions from memory, and it really zones in on the kind of females, the suffering, and what people are doing about it. So it's a really beautiful film to check out. A few of my other faves, because that's not the only female protagonist-led film on the platform. We've got a beautiful film called The Black Mermaid, which launched last year. Follows the story of Zandi, who is, I think, was the first black female freediver in South Africa, and she kind of gets the next generation of kids and youth freediving. We've got an amazing film called History of the Caribbean, which is all about, it's a really great project, actually. We work with Nikon, the camera brand, and we put cameras into the hands of the next generation of talent. And this film, she's an amazing filmmaker, and she spotlights the LGBTQIA community through the lens of Nikon camera. Super cool, worth checking out. Very TikTok style content, thinking of the social question. And then there's a bunch of others, but there's a lot of kind of female led content on the platform for sure.
I'm very excited. I'm personally very excited for Unsilenced, given I'm in gender-based violence. But yeah. I mean, I think it's, I'm very excited to check that one out. And I know that stories like that are always they're very moving. We've noticed that in our work, you know, and it's just, yeah, it's just that stories, those stories in particular, you know, those are stories that are not allowed to be told. Right. And it's, cool. And just the way like the system works, the very nature of the psychological, you know, nature, unfortunately, of, you know, gender-based violence. Yeah. So, you know, for me personally, I always feel very, very moved. For me, it's an opportunity to be able to hear those stories and share those stories and, you know, to hold space with individuals who experience that and who, you know, are on their healing journey. It's a very like touching, you know, I'm kind of cautious in saying that, because it's like, obviously this is someone's, you know, trauma, but there is, you know, to be a part of that and to be able to hold space with people is a beautiful moment to be supportive in that way, you know? So very excited for Unsilenced. I want to talk a little bit more too, just because, you know, I think your role is so unique in that you are kind of at this intersection between like tech impact and then film. And so, you know, I think especially being a woman in this space, and then I think these areas themselves, especially when we look at tech and film, tend to be very male-dominated industries. And so would love to learn a little bit more about, you know, your experience. Were there any challenges or anything that you had to really overcome? Or what are even dynamics that maybe you've noticed being in the space, in these spaces and operating in these intersections?
Sure. Way to begin there. It's a big one. So I, as I mentioned, worked in kind of big media. And I also used to work in Asia. So I spent many years working in Singapore and then in Hong Kong, and moved over there in my early 20s, kind of had worked very, very hard in my early 20s and had kind of climbed a little bit quickly, I guess, when I first started out, and then went into media and kind of a little bit more of the tech side. And I so vividly remember someone saying to me at the age of 25 or 26, you should consider dyeing your hair brown. I was bright blonde at the time. You should consider dyeing your hair brown and wearing glasses so that people take you more seriously. Ironic now at mid to late 30s, I'm brown and wearing dark glasses. But it was such a weird moment. I was like, huh, that's really strange. Why am I being told to do that? And it was a man kind of 15 years my senior who was giving me sagely world advice about how I'd survive in the media industry. I needed to look more serious. And I was like, whoa, and I vowed at that point never ever to listen to that kind of advice, because I was like, people just need to take me as who I am. I'm a little bit scruffy, I'm a little bit all over the place, I'm kind of, but I get the job done. And that's always been my ethos. That said, that's followed me around for years and years and years. That's especially in the media industry, because it was a world dominated by older white men. And that's not an issue. That's, you know, that, well, it is obviously, it's a challenge. But it was really eye-opening at that time. And then 10 years later, I was like, right, I need a mentor in my life. I need someone to help me in these board meetings. Now we're in our Series A and we're going into investment and we're really thinking about how to be taken seriously. I need to think about getting a mentor and just thinking about how to be the kind of more powerful female in the room and in the impact world as well, which has been super interesting. And again, it was so funny because I sat down with this woman and I was like, tell me what to do. And she was like, you need to buy a power suit and you need to cut your hair and you need to wear glasses. And I was like, what? This is mental. This is mind blowing that this is the advice that I'm getting. And this is kind of bonkers that this is the stereotype. But there is still a stereotype and it's crazy. And it is very prevalent in tech and media and remains prevalent. That said, Sundance was a really great example. We hosted a Women in Impact panel. We had a bunch of female-led sessions. There is a wave and it's changing, which is super exciting. You're suddenly seeing female protagonists. You're suddenly seeing kind of female directors, female heads of studios. And it's the tide is definitely turning and we're seeing far more, I think, diversity at that senior level. But it's not been a neat, you know, and I count myself lucky. I'm the last 10 years. Is very different to the 10 years before that and the 10 years before that. But it's certainly not been, I would say, plain sailing.
Right. Well, thank you for sharing that.
Sorry, that was a bit
annoying. No, not at all. Thank you for sharing that. I mean, I think that it's so disheartening to hear some of those stories that, especially when it's men your senior telling you how you're supposed to look to be taken seriously. I think that's very, very frustrating. And you know, we definitely hear those stories very, very often, but I do appreciate you reflecting back on that because, and I'm happy to know that it's different. You know, you're talking about Sundance that it seems to be, you know, well, maybe it's not different. I would say, I think the dynamics for what I feel the dynamics still are there and are present. But I think it's that women are really stepping up. You know, we're really calling ourselves up. You know, we're kind of deciding, we're taking we're taking this into our hands now, right? It's like, you know what, sort of stepping outside of that, this is not who I am. And I'm going to continue to be this person, be who I am and keep moving that forward. And so I think that is something that I witness and observe. And I'm really grateful that women were doing that. We're really being called to our power now and really stepping into that power.
Yeah. For sure. And I think we take it very seriously at Waterbay. You know, 70% of the team are women. And we're kind of really focused on making sure that there is a proper proper gender split at management level and senior management level. And we've really stuck by that. And it's not just about kind of gender diversity, it's also about all types of diversity. So, you know, Waterbay, we've got, I think, 16 nationalities out of 40 team members, which is actually an insane number for such a small business. But again, we feel very strongly about it. But yeah, it really struck me as times are changing at Sundance. And I think we've all got to do what we can to keep empowering next generations, the next generation of talent. I think, you know, if you're making sure that there is space for next generation, especially kind of women, next generation women, making sure there is space for them to grow, to learn, to step into more senior roles, to, especially again in the media and the tech worlds, I think we have a responsibility to be doing that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love that. I love hearing that. Yeah, that's amazing. 16 out of 44 nationalities. That's incredible. That's so amazing.
It's mad. Yeah, it's great. And it really lends, what I love about it is it lends a different lens onto everything that we're doing, right? It plays into the heart of what we're trying to achieve, which is how can we build a space for underrepresented voices? How can we champion voices from the global south? How can we champion next generation filmmakers? How can we champion diversity? How can we put impact at the core of everything we do? And I really believe we're doing that. We really walk the walk, not just talk the talk.
Absolutely. And I think, again, I think that really is seen in what you produce, right? And that's how I feel, again, being a viewer. I see the authenticity in everything that and all the content that's produced. And I personally really appreciate it because one of the things that I went through as I was sort of, you know, stepping into my power and really feeling like I was being called to my power was I started realizing the impact that traditional media had on how I viewed myself as a woman, you know, that it was like,
yeah.
A lot of films really kind of teach us subconsciously that we're not allowed to be, you know, to be free, or, you know, women empowerment is this idea of being badass and you've got to be this like tough and but I didn't realize how much it really did damage me until I really went through this more intentional, exploration for myself. And I was like, this is terrible. This is horrible. And I guess I'm curious, like what kind of comes up for you when I make that statement, especially being in tech and in film and seeing it that way.
No, the phrase "she's badass" makes me want to punch something. It makes me so cross that that's like, that's the thing. You must know about the double bind. the idea of, no, okay, so it's super interesting. So it's the kind of gender stereotypes, meaning that there's a no-win situation for women. So if men take charge, they're seen as strong, decisive, assertive. But if women take charge, they're viewed as competent, but they're actually disliked because it's not what women should be doing. Whereas women taking care, they're seen as like nurturing, emotional, communicative. That's the kind of stereotype of women. Whereas if they take care in the workplace, they're liked but viewed as less competent leaders. So it's a complete no-win situation. Women can't be both. They can't be this. I mean, this is a theory, right? It's the double bind theory. Women can't be competent leaders and caring. And it's mental, because you see that. I don't see it at Waterbear at all, to be honest, because we're just not wired, that the team here isn't wired that way. But you do see it. And the idea of calling a female, oh my god, she was so kick-ass in that meeting. You'd just never say that about a guy. And it does my nut in. But I think there's, you know, I made peace with the fact that even if I try and be kick-ass, like this is me. And I'm quite comfortable in that. I have fluffy hair. I always have crazy nail colors. I wear a lot of jewelry. My fashion sense is probably, some people would say, eclectic. But I think, you know, I go into a meeting and everyone's like, your superpower is just being able to disarm people, because you come in and you put people instantly at ease, and then you show them that you're kick-ass. And that, you know, it took me a long time to feel comfortable with that, but I'm like, this is me. I'm not going to change. And I think no one should try and be something they're not because of the stereotype of the workplace. I don't know. I feel quite strongly about it.
No, I hear you, and I appreciate that so much. And I think that's a really beautiful message to close today, is this very like truthful experience of like you said, really just owning who you are, and really stepping outside a lot of those stereotypes. So I really appreciate that. Thank you so much, Poppy. Everyone, please be welcome to check out Waterbear. I've already told you I'm not lying when I say I'm a fan. It's the only streaming platform, which is not the best word. As we know, we've said community is more important here, but like it is literally the only content that I watch is on Waterbear. And so I encourage everyone to take a look. Really powerful content, really beautiful content, beautiful stories. And it really, you know, if Poppy was inspired to swim a relay, and please make decisions, make them well. Please make sure they fit your lifestyle.
Don't try this at home.
Yeah. And don't try everything at home. But please, yeah, please check it out. Thank you so much for being here, Poppy, and very excited to continue to follow all the advancements of Waterbear. Thank you so much.